We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
From training camp, 94 WIP. It's been quiet out here for the last hour and a half because practice ended today right when our show started at 10. And then people were still around for about the next hour. We had the opportunity early. Did I say John Ritchie, by the way? Tom Kelly is what I meant to say if I said John Ritchie. Talked to Marcus Epps earlier. Seemed like a really nice guy. Talked to Kaiser White, two players that also a nice guy. Two guys that will be, it looks like starters for the Eagles. I mean, Kaiser White is a starter. Marcus Epps, I think, still a little bit to be determined. But it looks like he's got the upper edge there in the defensive backfield, and we'll see what those guys have this year. Also, Jaws on the program earlier, so it's been a fun show. A lot of Phils on the table, a lot of Eagles as well, 215-592-9494. One other quick show-related thing, just got to address, and then because I need help here. I need to figure something out. So, Seltzer, we like to do Are You Smarter Than a Sixth Grader, or we're going to do like Ninth Grader this
year.
Yeah,
so actually I was going to bring this up as well.
Did anyone get to you or not?
Yeah, so I got actually a lot of emails, so I'm trying to figure out how to choose from all the emails I got, but we will have an option. I just got to sort through it all.
Okay. Oh, so that's great. I thought you were going to say no one hit you up.
No, honestly, I got like at least 10 emails, so I'm going to figure it out.
So now you have the unfortunate task of having to tell 9 kids that they are not invited.
Yeah, more or less, something like that.
Now, how do you do that when you tell kids, like, you don't measure up? What's your method of doing that?
Still figuring that out, Joe. You know, I'm going to figure out the right way to do it. Yeah, it should be great.
Yeah, wow. That's not an enviable job to tell a kid, you know, your dreams are dashed. You're not going to be able to compete against Joe DiCamera. That's what every kid dreams of.
It's unbelievable, man. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phones. Oh, one other quick note. So I don't know if you guys have picked up on this, but the NBA schedule, not out. Mm-hmm. You know why?
Why?
Think about it. Seltzer, why wouldn't the schedule be out? Come on, put your brains together.
Why wouldn't the
schedule be out? We're getting like sort of near NBA training camp.
Yeah?
There's no schedule yet. Why?
It's a great question.
Clue, Joe.
Seltzer?
I got nothing.
Because they don't know where Kevin Durant's going to be traded to. How do you do Christmas Day? How do you do any of these things? You try to create these marquee matchups. You don't even know what super team is going to get created or if he's going to get dumped to, like, freaking Sacramento.
Yeah.
The NBA scheduler makers don't know how to proceed because they don't know where Durant's going to play. They don't know where the Utah guard, I'm blanking on his name,
Donovan Mitchell,
like, is he going to get traded? Like, hard to create a schedule. Hard to put together Christmas Day. If you don't know where one of the top three players in the world is going to play.
Yeah, it's a good point. I hadn't really thought of it.
And by the way, no necessarily solution the next week. So chances are they're going to probably have to put the schedule out before there's a Durant answer. But you know they would prefer there be a Durant answer really soon.
Right, and I think they could kind of project the teams that could possibly acquire him, could possibly get him. But, you know, do you put the Nets in those marquee spots?
Well, you can't do it.
Right, when you Kevin Durant's probably not going to be on the team. I mean, it looks like they're going to have Kyrie, but with Kyrie, who knows? I mean, he might decide he doesn't want to play basketball tomorrow and he might be done.
I mean, listen, you can make the case you could put the Nets, the 12 o'clock game, because I think they now do 5 games, and you could say, we'll hedge our bets. We're not giving them the 3:30 or the 6:30 slot, and we'll hedge our bets. But you just know if Durant gets traded, then Kyrie certainly could also get traded. So you could just have 5 stiffs out there on Christmas Day, and no one's going to watch the game.
And maybe Ben Simmons. Probably not, but maybe Ben Simmons.
Well, just to be clear, though, he's one of the 5 stiffs.
Yeah,
if
true.
He plays.
Yeah, good point.
I'm with you. All right, to the phones we go, 215-592-9494. 94. Seltzer, what would be your ruling if you're NBA commissioner? Are you scheduling the Nets on Christmas Day?
Man.
I mean, how can you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you could do it.
I mean, there's too good a chance it's Manny, Moe, and Jack out there. All right, let's go to Brandon right now. Brandon, you're on WIP.
How's it going, guys? How we doing today?
What's up, Brandon?
Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about the Eagles, how I love how they built through their defensive line once again, like they had a solid defensive front the year of the Super Bowl year. Loving how Jordan Davis comes in, provides, you know, a breath for Fletcher and all Hargrave and all of them. I just think that front five, that front seven, however they play it, is going to be a formidable, you know, front seven this year for them to get to the quarterback.
Well, one thing, Brandon, so a lot of excitement, obviously, but I will say this. Listen, Jordan Davis, a great addition, and obviously Hassan Reddick helps a lot, but they are still reliant on a lot of guys who I thought last year were disappointing up front. I'm talking about Fletcher. I'm talking about Derek Barnett, and I'm talking about Josh Sweat, who was not a disaster last year, but I expected more. So,
absolutely. Especially,
you know, those guys are going to have a big say in how much this team soars or not, too.
Yeah, obviously. With that, and now they actually have good, better, I don't want to say great linebackers, but better linebackers than what they've had. I just think they'll be able to get to the quarterback as well with this new defense they're putting in. And yeah. I don't know, I'm just pumped for this defense this year more than I was last year.
Oh, listen, more than the last couple of years, easily. Yeah. Brandon, great call. Give me a Mount Rushmore ultimate. Who do you have?
So I kind of was thinking out of the box with this a little bit. My Mount Rushmore of kind of flash in the pan, one hit wonder athlete.
Ooh, okay.
I was thinking Peyton Hillis, Dom Brown, Jeremy Lin, and Tebow.
It's a very interesting answer.
It's a good list.
Brandon, I'm going to write that down. So Dom Brown, Tebow, and what was the last one he said?
Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, Lin and Tebow and Peyton Hillis.
Lynn had to be in there. That's the one
I
was waiting on.
For sure. Peyton Hill's a pretty good answer, too. I mean, Dom Brown, it's more local.
Mm-hmm.
And Tebow, you know, as a pro, he did have that, you know, they beat the Steelers in that playoff game. Unbelievable, man. That was really a shame when Demaryius Thomas died recently. They said it was related to a seizure disorder or something?
Yeah.
That news came out a couple days ago, that the cause of his death.
Yeah, and obviously he's the guy who caught that ball from Tebow, and,
yep.
And yeah, really sad.
Very sad situation. Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, so I wanted to touch on this Hernandez thing.
Yes.
I kind of feel like there's like a little trend building for this season for the Phillies. Like, considering in the years before, the Phillies would kind of just like lay down and take some things kind of like this. They were kind of just like a rollover kind of team. But then you look at what's been happening. Like, Boehm gets the heat. He's playing his best season, right? Castellanos gets the heat. He crashes the ball, right? You get JT getting the heat. He's coming up. Like, so I think Hernandez might have kind of screwed himself a little bit here. I think he's going to be eating his words once he says that this is a terrible team to watch and everything like that, like the audacity behind that kind of statement and everything. And then I think the Phillies are going to make him shove it, man.
Listen, it's possible. I mean, these moments can help. You know, I think when Mike Lombardi said what he said about Doug Peterson before 2017, I think it helped the Eagles. Now, might they have won the Super Bowl anyway? Sure. But
maybe.
Listen, man, fuel on the fire. I mean, Michael Jordan's whole thing, and his Hall of Fame speech spoke to it, that he always used every slight to help him just be that much more motivated.
I think it's true what you said, too, about Doug, because remember, the Eagles beat Washington week one, and they dumped the Gatorade on Doug's head, and it seemed overboard, but I think they rallied around that comment as well.
They really did. Yep.
Yeah, I think this Phillies team this year is just one that kind of is more inclined to like clap back at those kinds of things instead of just like even with Girardi moving out, like if this were something that would go over with Girardi, it'd be like, oh, you know, he'd be pulling his old man speeches, you know what I mean? But, you know, you look at what's going on now, I think these guys are going to turn around and kind of, you know, give the Mets a taste.
Look, they got some spunk this year, Dan. They really do. All right, give me, especially under Rob Thompson, give me a big answer here for an ultimate Mount Rushmore that you create. What do you got?
Well, it's for wrestling tickets, right? You know?
It is for you're going wrestling.
We're going Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yep.
We're going Hulk Hogan.
Of course.
Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker.
All right, so I need a ruling on this one, Tom. You heard the names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the combination. Talk to me.
I love the list. I think it's a tremendous one. Now, for my age group, I would probably take off Macho Man and put in a guy like Bret Hart, the Hitman.
Yep.
Like, he was, to me,
Shawn Michaels,
one of the guys going. Shawn Michaels as well.
Feels like he has to be on that list. Or, you know, Joe DiCamera's version of the Macho Man.
Oh, yeah, we're turning it around today with positive moments.
Unbelievable.
There you go.
Unbelievable. So, I don't know. I mean, I was a JYD guy.
He's not a Mount Rushmore, though.
Who's JYD?
Junkyard Dog. Who's JYD?
I don't even remember. I don't even know JYD.
How do you not know JYD?
That's way back in the day, Joe. I mean, come on. You got to modernize now.
I don't remember
the Junkyard Dog.
Seltzer, how young is this dude sitting next to me right now?
Early 30s?
I'm 35.
You never heard of the Junkyard Dog?
When did he wrestle? Did he wrestle in the 90s?
The 80s.
The 80s, I don't care about the 80s, Joe. I was born in 87. I don't remember anything from the 80s.
Oh, this hurts, man. This hurts.
I remember Macho Man and Hulk, at least.
Yeah, now, I would not expect you guys to think JYD should be Mount Rushmore, but for me, he would be. And then the other big one, and it wasn't really my thing, but help me out. Super famous guy.
The Rock?
No.
Oh, okay.
The guy we interviewed, Seltzer, 5 years ago. Why am I forgetting his name right now? He's like 70 years old. Blonde hair.
Ric Flair. Woo!
Ric Flair. Yeah. Right, just goes blanking on his name. So, I mean, if you're really doing Mount Rushmore of wrestlers, wouldn't you have to have Ric Flair?
Yeah, I think so. Ric Flair should probably be in there.
So, and then maybe Bruno Sammartini, right? He's another one. All right. Is that the name Sammartini? Sammartino?
I think
Bruno Sammartino.
Sammartino.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's talk some Eagles football here as they practice today. It is their last practice before their first preseason game, which will be played Friday night at Lincoln Financial Field. We found out today that the starters are going to play a series or two, as detailed by Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. And for more on that in today's practice, we turn to our Eagles reporter, Mr. Elliot Shore-Parks. How you doing, Elliot?
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, actually. All right, so, Elliot, let's get to the decision of Nick Sirianni to play the starters on Friday. Do you think it's the right decision or the wrong decision?
I think it's a mistake. I just don't see the benefit of what 7 or 8 snaps is really going to do for this starting offense. If you're going to prioritize health, if you're going to say, you know, on the third day, people get less hamstring injuries and do all these things, then I just think ultimately you should err on the side of caution. I would honestly almost prefer they play a full half where it feels like they at least get meaningful time. But if you're not going to get meaningful time, why risk the season for a drive or two? I don't think it gives the benefit of anything that's actually going to help them in the regular season.
Elliot, it wasn't specified today, but would you guess that there will be some starters that will be kept out? Like Fletcher Cox, who's been around the block forever.
Yeah.
Do you think he actually plays, or do you think it's actually all the starters that are healthy enough to play?
I think it'll probably be all the starters. I do. I mean, if you're going to say you're going to play the starters a series or two, I'm guessing that that's what it'd be. Now, Fletcher Cox is probably the one example of maybe like, all right, this guy probably doesn't need to go out there. But I think you will see the vast majority of starters play a series or two.
Any concern for you on Hurts as it relates to injury when you consider that they're not going to have their starting left tackle in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's part of it. And they're also not going to have their starting center. Now, he might be their starting center for week one. But Jason Kelce is not going to be out there. It's going to be Cam Jurgens getting his first NFL action. So, yeah, you're going to be missing 2 of your 5 starting offensive linemen, which is not ideal. Not to mention, like you said, the left tackle, right? So, I think, like I said, I just don't get what the benefit of playing them for a handful of snaps is. It's not worth risking serious injury for.
Yeah, Elliot, I agree with you. And especially when you look at the schedule coming up and you got these joint practices, how much stock do you put into these joint practices? And do you think that is enough for this team to get, like, game simulated reps in those sessions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking to the right guy for how much I value joint practices. Like, I think they're tremendous work. Having covered training camps for 7 or 8 years now, watching the joint practices, they're very close to games. They're way better than preseason games. The intensity is far more ratcheted up. I mean, the Eagles have talked about it, how they can track and see that when the players take part in a joint practice, their output is very similar to what it is in a game. And these joint practices, you can work on red zone. You can work on third down. I just think they're way better than preseason games, and I think they get more than enough work in those joint practices where it's not worth playing them in preseason games.
Yeah, and Elliot, obviously you've been keeping track of Jalen Hurts, been keeping a very close eye on what he's been doing this training camp. How do you evaluate his day today, and where do you think it ranks as far as what he's done so far in camp?
Yeah, so you know, training camp's a roller coaster, right? And today was an up day for Hurts. Today was one of those days where you stand on the sideline, you watch him play, and you know you can envision this team being good. Now most days have not been like that for him, and my overarching opinion is still that through 10 practices, I've been underwhelmed by what I've seen from him. But today, I thought he looked really good. He was 11 of 18. He had 3 touchdowns, and all of his touchdowns were at least 30 yards or longer. So that's been my big concern with offense so far. It's been mostly dinking and dunking, mostly passes within 10, 11 yards. Today, you saw Hurts really air it out, and he had some really nice passes. He had a 2-play sequence. On one play, he hit A.J. Brown down the right sideline. Perfect throw. Really good coverage from James Bradbury, but A.J. Brown went and made the catch. It was probably a better throw than the one in the open practice. And then on the next play, he hit Zach Pascal down the left sideline from about the same distance, around 30 yards. So I think today was one of the first times in camp where you could look and say, okay, this Jalen Hurts can make the team special.
Elliot, what else stood out to you from training camp practice today?
I mean, it's hard not to say A.J. Brown, right? Like, you know, he had the touchdown catch today. And just watching him out there, he's now up to six touchdowns in training camp. I think he has something like 32 catches, most on the team. So he had another outstanding day. And then you mentioned kind of just the offensive line and how they're having to juggle things around. No Kelsey out there. Cam Jurgens was taking first-team snaps. The left tackle situation, they're dealing with injury there. It was Dillard out there today, I believe. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the observations were from on the offensive side of the ball, I would say.
Elliot with us here right now, Elliot Shore Park. So, Elliot, about 24 hours since the Jason Kelce news broke yesterday, you talked to people on and off the record. Obviously, yeah. We heard from Sirianni today. Based on the way the information is being presented, do you get an optimistic or pessimistic sense of whether Kelce will be ready week one?
So I do think he will play week one, but I'm probably a little more pessimistic than I was this time yesterday. When we talked, you know, you hear Sirianni came out today and said that the reason they did this is they want him healthy, you know, for the season, right? Like there's something about the way he worded that to me didn't sound like week one. Now, I do think that there's enough time where he'll be able to recover. You know, he has pretty much a full month. He has a starting streak to kind of worry about. So I think he'll ultimately play. But when this first happened, I kind of viewed it as no big deal. Now I think that week one will happen, but I don't view it as much of a lock as I used to.
Yeah, Elliot, and another guy who missed practice today, Devontae Smith. How much concern should there be on that end? A few missed practices now. What'd you see from Devontae, and is this cause for concern?
I think it's somewhat a cause for concern. I mean, he did miss a large portion of training camp last year, and I thought he went on to have a very good rookie year. So I guess, you know, the kind of silver lining is he's used to, you know, playing without much of a training camp. Now, the other positive would be Jalen's getting a lot of reps with A.J. Brown, so that's good in developing their chemistry. But without Devontae out there, like, you can kind of envision a world where this passing offense moves on without him. Like, Goddard's getting a lot of targets. A.J. Brown's getting a lot of targets. We know they're going to run the ball a lot, you know, if not 50% of the time, right around there. So without Devontae, you kind of wonder where are these targets going to come for him. So I think they would clearly be better if he was out there and he was getting these targets. But the positive is you're seeing a lot of different players.
Elliot, we had a chance to talk to Marcus Epps on the show earlier today. He's obviously looking like he's probably a starter. How would you say the safety position is shaking out as they get closer to the season?
Yeah, Marcus Epps, I think, has probably been one of the surprises of camp. And I say that because often during the offseason when there's a major kind of flaw in the roster, you'll hear the coaches and players talk up a certain player that may be outside the NovaCare. None of us view as a real option. I think we all agree coming into training camp, safety was viewed as probably the weakest unit on the team. And the Marcus Epps was being hyped up as the guy. I didn't really buy into it, but after 10 practices, I think he's been really good in camp. He has 2 or 3 interceptions. You haven't seen the offense but be able to beat the Eagles' defense deep much outside of today. And I think that's a sign of good safety play that he's not out of position and there haven't been those deep holes open down the field. So I think Marcus Epps has had a really good camp so far. I don't know if I feel great about the safety position overall yet. Anthony Harris didn't practice today. Jaquaski Tartt hasn't been practicing. And Kayvon Wallace is still a bit of a question mark. But I think Epps has absolutely had a good training camp so far.
Elliot, great report, man. Looking forward to it. I know you'll be hosting the show with me on Friday, on the day of that first Eagles preseason game. Looking forward to that as well. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, there he is, Elliot Shore Park. So a good day for Jalen Hurts, as we talked about earlier. We detailed that earlier. All right, 215-592-9494 from training camp. Roll until 2 o'clock. AMA today at 1. Phone calls throughout on 94WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.